Well, good morning and welcome on the first Sunday in Advent, and a special welcome to Stephen and Leslie.
Yes.
Leslie. Amen. It wouldn't be church without some notices. First of all, there's no evening service tonight. Also, there are more, if you're able to go singing at Primley Court on Tuesday the 17th, if you could let Diane know at the back so she knows how many are able to go carol singing. And now David Butler would like a word about our new Link missionaries.
Thank you, Andrew. At the recent church meeting we had, I was able to give the exciting news that we have new linked BMS missionaries to replace Andy and Uta Carey, who are now ministering in Bristol, as you know. And we've got not one link, but two links now. The first couple are called Ingrid and Roger Hamlet. They have two little boys, Mark and Joel. They're just completing language study in France for the rest of this month, and then they're off to Chad, to the Guinebaud II Hospital, where they're going to be setting up a new department, which you can read about in this information I've got here. And then out in Indonesia, we have, if I can say this properly, Ardi Wiryadinati, who's married to Lily, which is a lot easier. And they have teenage daughters called Joanna and Melody. He works for the Asia Pacific Baptist Federation as their director of mission, and is linked to BMS. I've come with a big supply of prayer cards like this for anybody who wants them to stick on your fridge or on your kitchen notice board or somewhere where you see them every day, so it reminds you to pray for them. And I've also got a small supply of the most recent prayer letters for each of the missionaries. And if you haven't already got one from me as you came in, please ask me afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good morning, everybody. Stephen has asked me before I give an update about Stephen to say a big thank you to Janine for 4 years of cutting up the communion bread, which you've moved on to a new system now. But can we give Janine a round of applause? Thank you. Always good to honour each other. So thank you for your prayers for Stephen. He's given me permission to say he's had a better week, supported by Leslie, Rachel, Maria, and the Hospice at Home team. He's even been out for trips. However, he remains seriously ill, but we continue to pray for his complete healing. But let's give him a round of applause again, shall we? And Leslie, and the family.
Very good news for the church, and all the God is going to do this year and next year.
Amen. Bless you. Well, today is the first Sunday in Advent. Now, apparently, I'm told, Advent comes from a Latin word meaning coming. But whose coming are we preparing to celebrate? I wonder if any of the children know whose birthday we are going to say, yes, Jesus, that's right. Today we're starting to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas. From the beginning of history, God calls his people, us, to be a people waiting for the coming of his promised Son. They had a joyous anticipation that in the darkness of their world, a light was about to break forth. And these candles are pictures of the lights that God has sent through history to prepare for his Son, the light of the world. Now then, from last year, how good's your memory? Anybody remember what the first candle represented? Oh, well done, Ian at the back there. Very good. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. People from thousands of years ago, Abraham was about 4,000 years ago, who looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Abraham was promised by the Lord, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And I've got Ivy to come and light the first candle. Thank you, Ivy. Well done. Now then, can you come this side? That'd be great. If you could hold the taper for me, that would be great. And then you can choose which candle, but not the middle one, which candle you want to light. Big round of applause. Let's pray. Holy Lord, thank you for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who you first told about the coming of the Lord Jesus thousands of years ago. Amen. Let's now sing that lovely Advent hymn, O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Come, O come Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel.
seated. As part of worship, we bring our offerings to the Lord, so we receive the offering. Father, we just thank you that you give us so much more than we ever ask or deserve. But we ask that you'll take these gifts that we give to you now as a token of our thanks to you and use them for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Some words from Romans chapter 4. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. As we sing of that great love Jesus had, we sing, "See His Love."
Given a sacrifice, see.
Let's pray. Father, as we gather today, we again come and just say thank you for the greatest gift you've ever given, which was your only son, Jesus, knowing that his destiny was going to be on a cross for each one of us. Father, we just say thank you. But as we come, Father, we're aware of the sin that's entangled us throughout this week. And so we ask at the start, Father, cleanse each one of us, that, Father, our worship today would be a pleasing offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Could I ask those who are serving communion to come up, please? Some well-known words from 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We'll have a few moments of silence so each of you can prepare your hearts ready.
Heavenly Father, we come to your table with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning. We thank you that Jesus, your Son, invites us to share this time together around this table. He has prepared for us to remember his broken body and shed blood and the great sacrifice he paid for our salvation. May we know your presence amongst us. Take us from this table, raised and restored, ready not to be served, but to serve, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
As the bread comes round, take a bit and eat as we receive it, a sign that we come to Jesus as individuals. If you're not sure about taking bread and wine today, don't be embarrassed to let the bread and wine pass you by. And also remind the parents, it's your responsibility to know whether your children are at the point of knowing why we receive communion. All the bread is gluten-free. As the wine comes round, we keep the cups and we drink together, a sign of our unity in Jesus. Thank you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Thanks be to God. Just a reminder that at communion we have a free will offering, which is extra to our regular offering. And this month it goes to the BMS Relief Fund. Any offerings will be, the box will be in the Crosslink Centre after the service. And after we've just taken bread and wine, we can only sing, "Thank you for saving me." Remain seated as we sing, "Thank you for saving me."
Thank you.
Now, prayer blessing as the children will be going upstairs with Dee and Debbie. Father, we just thank you that you love children, and we just ask that as they go upstairs with Dee and Debbie now, that you'll just bless that time in room one. As much as you're blessing us, may they too know that real blessing of you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue as we sing, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
From heaven you came, helpless babe, and to the world your glory veiled, not to be served but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God.
Come now to a time of open prayer, and I had specifically pray for Stephen and Leslie and the family. So if two or three of you would like to pray for them, if you raise your hands, Eileen will come round with the handheld, then we can all hear your prayers. So prayers for Stephen, Leslie, the family.
Father, these hymns we've just been singing are so relevant to the way we're all feeling today, especially Rachel and Leslie. And it's great to have Stephen sitting amongst us this morning. We just pray that you will continue your work of healing in whatever way it's going to be. But just bless them. Bless Maria as well, and the grandchildren. We love them all. Amen.
Father God, this morning we just want to say thank you. Thank you for so many things, Lord, for what you've done for us, for our relationship with you. Thank you that Rachel and Leslie and Stephen have that relationship with you, and we have relationship with each other. Father God, we plead with you this morning to complete the miracle that you have started. We pray all of this for your glory and our good. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Lord Jesus, we pray this morning for Pastor Steve, that Lord, you will heal him completely in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you said by your tribe we are healed. Lord Jesus, we pray that Pastor Steve is healed in the name of Jesus. We pray that everywhere that needs your divine touch, Lord Jesus, please touch it in Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
Lord, our desire is that the gospel goes out this Christmas, that everybody knows the truth about why you came. We thank you for the truth that we have declared in worship inside this building. But by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to declare the truth of the gospel outside this building. May we not limit you to who you're working in. There are family members, there are neighbors, there are people alongside us who are so close to you. Help us to keep our eyes open and to speak whenever you give us opportunity, in season and out of season. Help us not pick and choose who we share the gospel with, who we love, who we serve. You have prepared people this Christmas to hear the gospel. And I pray that together, not just our church, but the whole church family here in this place, your word will go out and will achieve what you sent it out for. Amen.
Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves to hear us, hear our prayers, and answer them. And Father, we just ask that you'll take those prayers now and answer them for the glory of Jesus. Amen. 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 David and Jean to come up, please.
Lord, we love your word, and we love this time of year when we have the time to reflect on what it meant for the Lord Jesus to come into this world. And it gives us the opportunity to remember too that there is another advent, because Jesus is going to return in power. Yes. And we look forward to that. So Lord, as we open your word just now, we pray for Jean that you will anoint her lips. And we pray for Andrew. We thank you for his preparation before you during the week. And we pray, Lord, that we won't hear him speaking to us. We will hear you speaking to us, using Andrew as your servant. Yes. These prayers we offer in the precious name of our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Right. Our reading is on page 965 in the Church Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God.
As we start Advent, this morning I just felt led to look at the words of the angel to Joseph. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. From his birth, Jesus' destiny was the cross. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Psalm 22 begins with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Echoing the words of Jesus on the cross. Or Isaiah 53, just verses 4 and 5 for now. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Also, there are some hymns that deal with the birth and death together. We sang one earlier, From Heaven You Came. Verse 3, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. Or the last hymn we'll have in a minute, From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. The first verse about his birth, from the squalor of a borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, to the anguish and shame and scandal, came the Saviour of the human race, his birth. And yet, verse 3, through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted up on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for breath. He fights for me, loosing sinners from the chains of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. The angel said he would save his people from their sins. But the question I had is, in today's secular society, is sin becoming an outdated word? If you go into the streets and ask people what sin is, you could find answers like it's an outdated concept, or it doesn't exist because now we're all unique individuals who can do what we want. The other month, we had the situation where government departments were working with magistrate and crown courts and prisons about sentencing, as our prisons were full and overcrowded, and they were looking at the early release of some prisoners to make way for other prisoners. Many people might say church attendance is down, prisons are full. Is there a coalition between the two facts? I don't know. But it's sad that in 2024, as a nation, we have all our prisons full to overcrowding, and they're trying to work out the best way of managing the situation. Sin is rife in this country. Are we taking sin and praying for the work of the Holy Spirit seriously? Jesus said in John 16:7-11, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict in regard to sin. A lot of people would say they lead good lives, do lots of good things, or they're not as bad as all those murderers and that. But the Bible makes it clear we have all sinned. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's quite a hard passage when you see so much good being done by some people, and yet the Bible makes it clear every person has sinned. Some people might say heaven is for good people. The teaching many years ago was something like turn or burn. In other words, fearing people into salvation from hell. But today, have we gone too far the other way and got an emphasis on God is love so much? We take John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son." If we leave it there, we've got the thing that people go, well, if God loved us and gave Jesus for us, then he's not actually going to send anyone into hell because he loves us and gave Jesus anyway, which is wrong. Because we've got to carry on and go, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's a big difference between just saying God is love and knowing that there is salvation only in Jesus. If you watch quizzes, you know Dante comes up quite a bit. He wrote the Divine Comedy series. The first part is called Inferno. Now, I must point out, it's not a biblically accurate book of what hell is. It's not, but it's an interesting concept that someone wrote a book about what hell might have been like. But the back description is quite interesting. It says, depicting one man's horrifying journey into the depths of hell, Inferno, the first part of Dante's Divine Comedy, is a soaring spiritual epic that continues to echo through the centuries with its moving portrayal of human sin and the tragedy of those condemned to eternal damnation. Was sin taken seriously so many centuries ago that we've lost it today? That's why Jesus came. If you watch TV or listen to the radio and there's a funeral, one of the characters has died. There's quite often a funeral scene. And one of the lines the script writers love is something like this. They get a group together and they go, "Well, they'll be looking down upon us now." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just cringe and I go, no, there's a heaven and a hell. I don't know what that character was like. But it's interesting how the theological way of the world is. Everyone is going up to heaven today, which isn't true. We've got to make sure we don't fall in the trap that good people go to heaven. Saved people go because of Jesus. Paul wrote in Ephesians, "It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." We can't earn our salvation. If we could, we wouldn't need to be here this morning. It's because of the cross. The other week, at work, someone had an energy drink. The name struck me straight away. It's called Hell Energy Drink. It's a picture of what they think the Satan looks like there. Is hell now something people don't regard as anything more than what can be used as an energy drink name? Is eternity something that people either don't know about, don't care about? Remember, there will be a separation for all eternity. Heaven with Jesus, hell without Jesus. In the hymn in a minute from the Squad of a Borrowed Stable, verse 4 has these lines. "The skies will part as the trumpet sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell." Romans 6, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." We live in a financial age where we often get inflation figures coming out, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's no inflation with that. God's word is true. The wages of sin has always been, is, and forever will be death. But the gift of God is Jesus. Are you praying the work of the Holy Spirit to convict men, women, children in regard to sin? We can have all the evangelism programs we want, but if we're not praying for people's hearts to be convicted of the sin, then any words we speak are just going to fall flat. But whilst we're here, I need to ask, do you know your sins have been dealt with? We served communion earlier, Jesus' body given for us, his blood that cleanses us from our sin. I don't know all of you here, but have you all come to that place of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, knowing he took the punishment for you? If you have accepted him, the next step is, have you been baptized because of Jesus? Jesus said, "Go into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, after he declared who Jesus was, the crowd responded by saying, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Or Philip in Acts 8, he was led to the desert road. He met an Ethiopian. After talking through scriptures, the Ethiopian said, "What's stopping me from being baptized?" They came to some water. He was baptized. Have you known Jesus? Have you been baptized? Is there anything stopping you from being baptized? One of the most well-known choruses that Stephen actually mentioned the other week, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. As we start Advent, and as was mentioned earlier, we're in the second Advent of waiting for Jesus to come in glory. This Advent, I've just felt led the words of the angel. He will save his people from their sins. This Advent, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Are you praying in a way that you've never prayed before for people to be convicted of what sin truly is and why Jesus truly came? Do you know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Saviour? And have you been baptised knowing your sins have been washed away? Amen. Few moments of silence to allow the Holy Spirit to minister anything that's been said this morning. As we come to the end of our service, we sing From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. Notice, as I referenced it, we go from his birth through to the cross and then coming again and reigning in glory.
Oh,
seated. Debbie, would you like to come and share what you've done with the children?
Okay, so this year, every child who's been to Boys Brigade, Girls Brigade, or Children's Church has gotten...
Advent calendar.
So they've chosen their Advent calendars and they've opened window number one today. What have you got, Eric, on your picture? What's your picture?
A light.
It's a candlelight and it says...
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light.
And has anybody got a different one?
I've got a dove and it says, Christmas is the time of year when Christians all over the world celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
Lovely. And you had a...
The same one as Eric.
Lovely. And we've been making something, but it's not to be shown today because it is going to be used in a couple of weeks' time. But it involved...
What did we use today?
We did a sheep.
We did a sheep. We did a sheep. Is it boring?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's not boring, you'll be pleased to know. We did a non-boring sheep, which you will all see in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you, children. That was lovely.
We stand. Shall we bless each other with the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If anyone wants prayer from the service, then come and sit in the front row and then people with yellow lanyards will come and pray with you. And there's tea and coffee in the Crosslink Centre.